And I will tell you, too, this is a true story, so just understand that, okay? A man sat at a metro station in Washington, D.C. and started to play the violin. It was a cold January morning. He played six boxes for 45 minutes. During that time, since it was rush hour, it was calculated that thousands of people went through the station, most of them on their way to work. 3 minutes went by and a middle-aged man noticed there was a musician playing. He slowed his pace and stopped for a few seconds and then scurried on to meet his schedule. A minute later, the violinist received his first dollar tip. A woman threw the money in the till and without stopping continued to walk. A few minutes later, someone leaned against the wall to listen to him, but the man looked at his watch and started to walk again. Clearly, he was late for work. The one who paid the most attention was a three-year-old little boy. His mother tagged him along, hurried, but the kid stopped to look at the violinist. Finally, the mother pushed hard, and the child continued to walk, turning his head all the time. This action was repeated by several other children. All the parents, without exception, forced them to move on. In 45 minutes, the musician played. Only six people stopped and stayed for a while. About 20 gave him money, but continued to walk their normal pace. He collected a total of $32. When he finished playing, the silence took over and no one noticed it. No one applauded. There wasn't any recognition. No one knew this, but the violinist was Joshua Bell, one of the top musicians in the world. He played one of the most intricate pieces ever written with a violin worth $3.5 million. 2 days before his playing in the subway, Joshua Bell sold out at a theater in Boston, and the seats averaged at $100 apiece. This is a real story. Joshua Bell playing incognito in a metro station. It was organized by the Washington Post as part of a social experiment about perception, taste, and priorities of people. The outlines were, in a common environment, at an inappropriate hour, do we perceive beauty? Do we stop to appreciate it? Do we recognize the talent in an unexpected context? One of the possible conclusions from this experiment could be, if we do not have a moment to stop and listen to one of the best musicians in the world playing the best music ever written, how many other things are we missing? I'm here to tell you that the most awesome God, the God of all gods, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, is here this morning. And I'm going to tell you that you can chalk in your 2.3 up today for making it in for Sunday out of the month average of 2.3 Sundays. You can chalk that up and say, I came to church and I did what I was supposed to do. Or you can recognize that King of Kings and Lord of Lords is here for you today. I hope that this challenges you like it challenged me today, because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to worship the Lord today as if it's my last opportunity to worship Him. And I hope you'll join me this morning. So if you'll rise with me, we're going to go before that Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and we're going to honor Him with the honor that is due. And we're going to worship Him with a worship like no other. Amen? Father, this morning we lift to You today, God, our worship and our praise. Lord, may it rise up to You with sweet incense. May it be beautiful in Your sight, O God. Father, may it be everything and all that You need it to be, God. But more importantly, God, let it draw us into You, God, into Your throne, into Your being this morning, God. Help us to not miss this opportunity. Help us to not miss 1 minute, Lord God, of what we can give and do for You this morning, God. And may You be honored and pleased. In Jesus' name we offer this. Amen.
Lord, praises rising, eyes are turning to You. We turn to You. Come on, hope is stirring. Hope is stirring. Hearts are yearning for You. We long for You. in your tear we find strength to face the day. Cause in your presence all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, 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 come have your way among us, we welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hear the sound. Hear the sound of heart returning to you. Return to you. Come on, sing that again. Hear the sound of hearts. Hear the sound of heart returning to you. Yes, Lord, return to you. Come on, in your kingdom. Kingdom, we find strength to face the day. Cause in your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Come on, sing it out to the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us, we welcome you here. Yes, we do, Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Sing it out, come on. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us, we welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Come on, bring it down. And Hosanna, sing it out. Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Sing it again. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us, we welcome you here, we welcome you here, Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Yes, Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us, we welcome you here, Lord Jesus. 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 We welcome you here. We welcome you here, Lord. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. With every voice lifted up, with every hand lifted up in this place, let's just sing that to the Lord. Come on, let's just bring freedom in this place this morning. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. 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 Just ask God right now just to take full control of this service. Just ask the Lord right now in your own words. God, just take full control of us this morning. God, we don't want an ordinary church service, God, but we want to worship. We want to exalt your name, God. We We want to see you glorified. We want to see you lifted up, Lord. God, we sing Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest, Lord. You're worthy, God. You're worthy, God. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here, Lord Jesus. 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 Yes, Lord Jesus. Come on, give a great shout of praise. God, we say thank you for victory. God, we say thank you for freedom, Lord. We say thank you, God, that we can worship you, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Do what you want to do in this place today, God. Do what you want to do. Say what you want to say, Lord. Come on, church, we're here to worship him. Let's do that right now. God, we worship you, Lord. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah, Lord. Let your glory be glory. Let your glory be known, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. I have heard a sound coming on the wind, changing hearts and minds, and healing brokenness. I feel a generation breaking through despair. Come on, I hear a generation. They declare, and our song, it will be, yes it will, Lord, 'cause out of the darkness, we will rise and say, He is faithful, He is glorious, and He is Jesus. All my hope is in Him. He is freedom and He is healing right now. He is hope and joy, love and peace and life. Yes, Lord. You are love, God. Yes, you are. Seen a light like the break of dawn, and giving blind men sight, letting lame men walk. Come on, see now. I see a generation with resurrection life. We are a generation filled with the power of Christ. And our song, it will be. And out of the darkness, we will rise and say, He is faithful, He is glorious, and He is Jesus in all my. Hope is in Him. He is freedom and He is healing right now. He is hope and joy and love and peace and life. Come on, if you believe that this morning, come on, let's just glorify the Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, sing this out to Him right now. For He has paid the highest.
highest price. And he has proven his great love for us. And we will praise him with our life and proclaim our love for him. Yes, we will. 'Cause he has paid the highest price. Proven his great love for us, and we will praise him with our lives and proclaim our love for him, for he is faithful.
Thursday at school, we had a mock car crash. We had the police, ambulance, everybody there. It was crazy. It was cool. It made a point. But after that was done, I asked the sheriff, would you arrest me? I just kind of want to see what it's like. So he did. He yanked my arms behind my back. Like, he took it seriously. And he was like, don't struggle with us. They'll cinch down on you. So I did. Anyway, so I was struggling with him. And then he's like, if you make us mad, we'll do this. And he pulled my arms back farther. I was just thinking, man, this hurts. And he shoves me down in the car. I'm thinking, man, this is a dark place and there's no escape. And I could feel God come in. And he said, this is what sin is like. But I have the key. I can let you free. So he wants to say, let him unlock the handcuffs. Let him let you free. That was such a feeling of freedom, being pulled out of that car and taking the handcuffs off. It was an amazing feeling. God, just let him unlock the handcuffs. Let him let you be free.
Amen. Amen.
You stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now
You stood before my failures and carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now is there. So what can I say? What can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I'll walk upon salvation. Spirit alive in me, like to declare your promise, my soul now to stay. So what can I say? And what can I do? Offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. Come on, sing that again. So what can I say? So what can I say? What can I do? Offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you. Surrender all I am is yours. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one. My soul, Lord, to you surrender all I am is yours. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, to you surrender all I am is yours. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, surrender all I am is yours. All I am is yours. All I am is
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Your heart should be beating so fast right now. Because the presence of the Lord is so real. He is so present here. And what he is showing me is that the Lord is walking. Walking like it's Palm Sunday. And people are praising him. And putting the palm branches down for him to walk on. But then he shows me himself carrying the cross. And he looks back. And he looks at each of us. And he invites us to come. To follow. Not to be complacent. Not to deny. But to walk out. And follow after him. And he keeps heading to Calvary. And again he looks back and says, follow after me. And so the choice is ours to remain cold, callous, mediocre, or complacent. Or we can move in the Spirit of the Lord and walk all the way to Calvary with our Savior, our Redeemer, our Healer, and our King. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So be it, Lord. So be it.
The whole earth shakes, the whole earth. Morning, church. I felt the tugging, so I need to be obedient here. I know that there are lots of people in this church who have hearts for evangelism, and I'm one of them. And I know that as followers of Jesus Christ, we're called, each and every one of us is called to share the good news. Sometimes it's difficult because the enemy comes in and he says, well, you need to be a Bible scholar. Sometimes when we feel like we want to share with someone, we feel like we need to know a bunch of verses. And we do. I mean, it helps. But what I'm finding out is the more I just live my everyday life for the Lord, when opportunities come to share, I don't always necessarily have to have a verse ready. Let me give you an example. You know, sometimes something will happen in church. Pastor Mike will say something funny, which he often does. So when I'm talking to someone, just having a normal conversation, the Lord reminds me of something that Pastor Mike says, and all I have to do is simply say, oh yeah, my pastor said something funny this Sunday, and maybe that person didn't know I went to church. But see, that's an in. You know, God helps me to be strategic that way, but here's the thing, you have to be looking for opportunities, you know, and God is faithful. So the first thing you have to do is pray for those opportunities, and I guarantee you, He will provide them. You know, we had a church cleanup day yesterday, and God can provide an opportunity to share something that happened at a church cleanup. It doesn't have to be a service or like I said, a scripture that we have to share. You know, it's just interacting with our brothers and sisters on a normal basis. You know, and I guarantee you, it will provide an end into sharing the gospel. Because that's what we're called to do. But like I said, the enemy sometimes a lot, he'll come in and tell us, well, you don't know enough. You don't walk in the Spirit enough. You know, you didn't pray enough this morning. But like I said, God is faithful. And I know that there are people in this church, like I said, who have hearts for evangelism. And if this is you, I would just like an opportunity to pray with you. If you are the type of person who is struggling with wanting to share with people at work or with people in the grocery store, I would very much like the opportunity to pray with you, because I know there are people in here who struggle with this. I'm one of them. Because like I said, God is faithful, and He will provide the words. I know Moses was not a great speaker. And it was his brother Aaron who actually had to do the speaking for him, because Moses was, I think didn't he have a stuttering problem or something like that? Yeah, that was his excuse. You know, and that was Moses. You know, a champion for God. We can all be champions for God. We don't have to be professional speakers. You know, we don't have to be pastors. We don't have to be, you know, Sunday school teachers. God made us who we are for the reason to glorify Him and to share the good news. So again, if you want an opportunity to share your faith outside of these walls, because that's where it counts. I mean, it counts in here as well, but you know, we're called to be missionaries. We're called to spread the good news, and there's a dying world out there who needs to have what we have. So again, if you want God to strengthen you and to provide opportunities, please come up so we can pray together. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Be alive. I'd like to share something that happened yesterday, speaking about the evangelism. I was at the little store in Cowichi. I always call it Fred's Foods, but I don't think that's what it is anymore. But I was down there at the store, and there was obviously these three people, two young people and another girl that were looking, searching for something in the store. And as I went out, I asked them, you know, if they'd lost something. They said they lost their keys. And I'm notorious for losing my keys. And sometimes the only way I find them after hunting and hunting and hunting, I think, oh, Lord, I just sat down and I pray that the Lord will guide me in the right direction to find them. And he always does. But so I got in my car and I'm starting to leave, and the Lord said, pray for them. So I sat in my car and I prayed that, you know, the Lord would help them find their keys. And I still felt a tugging, but I went ahead and I backed up and I drove like a half a mile down the road, and the tugging just got worse and worse and worse. And it was like the Lord was saying, no, I told you to pray with them. And so it took a lot of courage. I turned my car around, I went back. And the one woman was in the car, searching in the car, and the two younger kids were outside. And I got out and I said, you know, I lose my keys all the time. And I said, you know, sometimes I find them in the most weirdest places. And I said, and the only way I find them is I finally just sat down and I pray for them. I pray to God to point me in the right direction. And I said, can I pray with you? And so I held their hands and they said yes. And we prayed for them. And I don't know if they found them or not. I'm believing they did. And as I was getting in my car, the young boy looks at me and he said, you know, it was the strangest thing, because we've just lost the one key. We still have our keychain with all the other keys on it. It's just the one key that's gone. And they don't know how it came off, but I'm believing that after I prayed that, and God will, they will give God the glory, that they would find him after I left and give God the glory that he deserves.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Our obedience is a powerful force, because what it does, it releases God's divine plan. I don't know why he chooses to use us. I don't know why he chooses to wait to even sometimes do things until we're obedient. And he needs you and I to be obedient. He needs you and I to not let fear, not let awkwardness, not let chains, handcuffs, keep us from doing what he wants us to do. Because you don't know what happened after that with Linda. We don't know. I mean, some of you say, well, Pastor, they probably just found the keys. No, you don't know what took place. You don't know whose heart was inspired. You don't know what that act of obedience has done now. And she may never know. Maybe someday in heaven she'll see. But our acts of obedience are so important. And Sunday mornings, very important. Because there are individuals out there that have the Spirit of God. You are carriers of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of truth lives in you. And it's not for just a select few to be sharing what God's saying, what God's doing. There is a voice in you. There is a sound of heaven in you if you will start listening. I'm not saying everybody is like a prophet, but we all have prophecy in us. We all have the ability to speak with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of the unction, so to speak, the anointing of God, and truth can be released. And your obedience could be the trigger to somebody's full release. So with all that said, I've got to be obedient. This morning, while I was not praying for the morning and just kind of, I guess, ruminating was kind of what I was doing, thinking about the day. And I had this picture at one point. I don't know when time it was in the morning, maybe it had been in the 5 or 6 o'clock time, first time I saw it, was this, and I thought it was me, and I saw this, the sword kind of being swung through the sanctuary and around people. I said, oh, that's amazing. And, look, and to me, immediately I knew in my spirit that that sword was the word of God. It was what God wanted to share in people's lives, or maybe just what God wanted to speak so that people were set free. So then it was probably about 9:30. Got another picture again, and it was more intense this time. And again, it felt like it was me, and it was a sword that was being yielded. And I saw like strings being broken that represented, and this is the best way I could say it. It's like it's representing the puppetry that the enemy uses in your life. He manipulates you with these strings, and you know they're tied to places in your heart and your thoughts. You know, and it to me it's like, oh wow, Lord, so you're gonna use that. Well, during worship, I saw that this was a flaming sword, and the Lord wanted to wield it. It wasn't me; it was God doing it, and He wanted to set people free. He wanted to deliver people. He wanted to take chains off of them that they've had for years. He wanted to let them start to stand in a new freedom and a new grace and a new ability to serve God. I believe that's what He wants to do here. Now, wants to do it now. So if you, while I was describing that, felt like your heart kind of like flutter a little bit, or maybe an excitement rose up in you, it's like, wow, could I really be free? Could I really experience this separation from these things that have been manipulating me? Anytime I get things in threes, I know it's God doing, because I wasn't trying to think about it. They just kept coming to me. So if that's you, I want you to be just obedient. Maybe it's just one person, but who cares? If it's one person that gets totally set free from things that have been holding them back and keeping them from being everything God has intended them to be, then it's totally worth it. If it's 10, 20, praise God. But I'm saying if it's just you and you don't worry about it, just at a drop of a hat now, just come up and be set free, because I believe that's what God wants to do. It's not a special song, but it's a special moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your freedom, God, coming now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your freedom, God. Thank you, Lord, for your freedom that you're bringing, God. Thank you, Jesus, for being the one, that made us free, for doing everything we need to be free. We don't have to fight. We just have to receive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bring your freedom, God. Bring your freedom, God. Your freedom, God, right now in Jesus' name. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Release your daughter, Lord. Release your daughter, Lord. Break every chain. Break every chain. Freedom, freedom, oh freedom, we declare freedom,
There's a fountain of living water that flows from your throne, and it brings life to the dry and thirsty. It satisfies my soul. And there's a fountain of living water that flows from your throne, and it brings life to the dry and thirsty. It satisfies my soul. And you said, come, drink from the well that does not run dry, and drink of the water that brings new life, and drink of the springs that grace flows from. Won't you come? You said, come, drink from the well that does not run dry, and drink of the water that brings new life, drink of the springs that grace flows from. Won't you come drink of me? Drink of me, says the Lord. There's a fountain of living water that flows from your throne, and it brings life to the dry and thirsty. It satisfies my soul.
Come on, there's a fountain of living water.
And there's a fountain of living water
that flows from your throne.
That flows from your throne. It brings life, and it brings life to the dry and thirsty. It satisfies my soul. You said, come, drink from the well that does not run dry, and drink of the water that brings new life, and drink of the spring that grace flows from. Won't you come? You say, come, drink from the well that does not run dry, and drink of the water that brings new life, and drink of the springs that grace flows from. And won't you come?
Sing that one more time.
You said, come, drink from the well that does not run dry, and drink of the water that brings new life, and drink of the springs that grace flows from. Won't you come drink of me?
Give you my
Come on, sing it out with all your heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. In every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Have your way in me. Lord, I give you soul. I live for you alone. In every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, have your way in me. Have your way. Lord Jesus, have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord Jesus, have your way. Here's my heart, Lord. I give you every part of me. Every part of me, Jesus, take all me, take all me, take all me, for I am yours, take all me, take all. Take all of me, take all of me, for I am yours. Take all of me, Jesus. Take all of me, take all of me, for I am yours. Take all of me, Jesus. Take all of me, take all of me, for I am yours, I am yours, Jesus. Come on, sing this from the depths of your spirit this morning. Take all, take all, take all of me. Take all of me, yes, Jesus. Take all of me, for I am yours. Take all of me, yes, God. Take all of me, take all of me, for I am yours. The Lord, and take all of me, and take all of me, and take all of me, for I am yours. Take all of me, Jesus. Take all of me, take all of me. For I am yours. We are yours, Lord, yours, Lord.
Lord, what a privilege. What an honor. What a great reason to be alive. We are yours. We are yours. Oh, and Lord, what comes with that is that you become mine. I am yours, Lord, and you are mine. We get the better end of the deal. We definitely get the better end of the deal because we get you, Lord. But Lord, we do. We give you all of us. Everything that we are, everything that we're not, we give it to you. Lord, we thank you. You're a miracle-working God. You can take these broken-down vessels, these old piles of dirt, and turn them into vessels of honor. Turn them into something that shines in the day that we live. So, Lord, for every heart, every life that sings that to you, let them realize the treasure that they have back, Lord, in you. Let them realize, Lord, that you're the best gift we can ever receive. And you're free. Yes, we're yours, Lord. Take all of us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, in obedience, will you guys just join with me? I'm already standing, but would you just stand in a sign? If you're already standing, then stand up inside as a sign that chains have been broken in your life today. Maybe you didn't come up, but let's stand and let those chains be broken in faith. I believe that everybody's going to leave here today with a change in their heart, a change in their life, change in their circumstances, change in the environment that maybe they're living in right now. More peace, more grace, more joy. We could use more joy, couldn't we? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why don't we have the children come on up? We're not done yet. Thank you, Jesus. Hello, guys. How are you doing this morning? Do you guys realize that I tell you enough? Do you realize it? That you guys have, for lack of a better purpose, back of a better word, a purpose now for the kingdom of God. That you guys have a purpose now for living now, not just when you grow up. You guys ever think about growing up? When I grow up, I'm going to have a car. When I grow up, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to be a doctor. You guys think about that, right? Yeah. Or maybe when I grow up, I'm going to be able to stay up and not have to go to bed. I always thought that one. When I grow up, I'm never going to go to sleep. So I hate having to go to sleep. How many knows when I grew up, I wanted sleep because I was tired. But when you guys are leaving today, And when you're downstairs, know that there's a purpose and a reason that you're here now. And it's not just about going to school, and it's not just about being obedient to your parents. Those are both good things. But it's about being used by God for today's plan that he has for you. That may be a friend of yours. That may be a sick family member. That may be a neighbor across the street. You never know. But just know that you guys can hear the voice of God. He lives inside of you just like he lives inside of all of us adults. When we're praying up here, maybe the Lord puts something on your heart. And you say, I can't do that, Pastor Mike. But it's possible that you sharing what the Lord put, maybe it's just that you're going to come up and say, I feel like the Lord wants to say Jesus loves you. Maybe something that simple, you could spark God to move in us adults. Because sometimes we get a little bit of rigid and a little bit of an attitude that we know it all. And we need your guys' fresh view of God to help us out. Can you guys do that? When we're praying up here and stuff, can you be praying saying, Holy Spirit, do you have something you want me to say? Or do you have somebody you want me to pray for? Huh, Nate? Huh? Can I hold you for a second? Got to give you a little testimony about this guy. We were at Saturday night prayer, and we were praying for Pastor Gay's knee. And guess what? This young man, by faith, came up and laid his hand on her knee. She felt extreme heat. She felt the touch of God. Now, we were all praying, but when he, this little heart of faith, came up and laid his hand on her knee, she felt heat. He probably didn't even know what was going on. He was just being obedient. And guess what? Her knee was completely healed. Amen. Amen. No surgery. She was scheduled to go to an orthopedic surgeon that following week. So let me tell you, there's a plan for these little guys and these little girls right now God has for them. Amen? Amen. All right, buddy. Thank you.
Good morning again. So I just want to let the ladies know that I now have brochures for the Northwest Grace International Women's Conference that's held in Battleground. That's going to be April 12th and 13th. Friday we will leave around 9:30 in the morning, and we'll be back Saturday around 6 p.m. If you're interested, please come see me after church for a brochure. And the cost is $70, which includes the gas money over your hotel, and your conference fee. So that's all inclusive of all of that. And there are three meals that are included in that as well, because they serve food after the conference on Friday night and food during the conference on Saturday. But also you have your continental breakfast at the hotel. So, amen. Come see me if you're interested in going.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hello. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Test. There we go. Okay. If I can't hear myself, I figure nobody else can, but maybe that's not the case. So that is, of course, for women only, just so you guys know. What's that? Oh. Huh? Yes. Oh, is the baby leaving? Yeah. Okay. Hold on before you do. Baby Harrison is in the house, a couple weeks old. There he is. Tried to announce him last week. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Got a little heat there. Now I'm getting some major bass. I sound tough. It's about the only tough that I've got there, is sounding it. Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor Josh has been, you guys probably noticed, if you've been away, then you haven't, you know, because sometimes we only see each other on Sunday, but he's been basically gone for almost 3 weeks now, and he's been in South Dakota, and he went to be with his grandfather, who injured himself right at first, and he really felt like he needed to go. Well, since he's been back there, he got very sick, ill, had to be taken actually off of life support, and then yesterday he passed away. And so Josh has had an opportunity to spend amazing time with his grandpa, just sometimes just reading the word to him, hours upon hours, and spending time with family and stuff. But he misses everyone, and hopefully he'll be back next Sunday. But if not, just keep him in your prayers. Just pray that that where he goes, that he is able to plant seeds of love, because that's really his heart's desire, is to make sure that when he leaves, that there's a residue of the kingdom of God that's left. Amen. And then I want to thank everyone who turned out for yesterday's work day. Praise the Lord. Got some stuff done around here. Thank you, all you hard workers. And we got a few things done. We have a new faucet downstairs, which is really nice. And have some lights up. We have more lighted. We did some yard work, lots of yard work. Cleaned up the church, and it was just a great time. So thank you again for coming and for working hard. Oh, we painted. There we go. We started with pink, but we didn't want the pink. A few of the girls did. Oh, are we going to leave it pink? Can we paint the whole church pink? It's like, don't think so. I went and I picked a color, and obviously the color. Oh, I didn't say, Impact, you're upstairs. You guys figured it out, right? Boy, I tell you what, man, I don't know what I would do without the Holy Spirit that keeps things going. I mean, I know you guys probably wrestled them, but it's still, I forget things sometimes. Anybody else deal with that? The older one said, amen, brother, preach it. Well, this morning I was contemplating, thinking, and this thought came to my mind. Fancy that, a thought. Anyway, thought came to my mind, and it was about, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm already in Psalm 91, and I just gave it away. And I was looking for Psalm 91 again, so. Yeah, a thought came to my mind, like I said, fancy that, but it really was just like, well, I think I'm going to, and I thought, okay, well, that's me thinking about that. And then what came into, in other words, I think I'm going to go preach on the Psalms this morning. So I was thinking that. And, you know, you guys ever do that? You think, yeah, I was thinking that. Yeah, you know what I mean. When you think that you're just thinking it, right? I was thinking that, see? You guys got a new saying. You got another funny one you can tell somebody, you know, if that's funny, I don't know. Unfortunately, what is serious to me, a lot of times you guys laugh, so that tells me either I'm unknowingly funny or I'm just funny. Strange, yeah. But they laugh, so go figure. Anyway, so I was thinking that I had that thought in my own head. And then when I thought that, I said, oh, well, what psalm would I... And immediately, Psalm 91 dropped in my heart. Now, let me tell you about Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is one of the 150 psalms. And when I was probably 5 or 6 years into the Lord, maybe 7, this is one of the chapters, one of the things the Lord told me to memorize this psalm. Now, so I basically proceeded to start memorizing it. And I didn't end reading Psalm 91 to the place where that was all I was pretty much doing and thinking about for almost 6 months to a year. I don't know exactly how long. It was a long time. And I could quote it verbatim, and it like went deep in my heart. So, and I don't think I've ever preached on Psalm 91. So it has sentimental value to me. But I want it to be more than just a sentimental journey for me. I want this to be the revelation that God wants to deliver here today. Psalm 91 is a psalm about, and a psalm means a song about protection and about God's divine protection and about God's so much divine protection that it's supernatural. It doesn't make sense. It goes beyond our natural thinking type of protection. And so we have in here a psalm, and some people say it's a psalm of David. It could be a psalm of David, but it's interesting because immediately before Psalm 90, I think it says this part ends the Psalms of David, and it starts a Psalms of Moses. So I don't know if it's the same Moses, but I'm not just one just to repeat what others say. So it could be a Psalm of David. Let me tell you this. It is a Psalm of protection. It's a song of protection. But one thing that I didn't understand when I read this and didn't really grasp the depth of it, and hopefully today will come out, is that this protection that you get, this result of this psalm, isn't a name it and claim it type of psalm. It's not like, well, the Lord says, you know, 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it's not going to come near me. And you can tell I've memorized it. It's not just like quoting that and then, you know, that's going to happen. It's what I do in my life in hiding myself in God, that is a result of that. So it's more than just a declaring it. It's more of a resting in it. It's more of a knowing it and living out what you know. You know, we're coming into perilous times. And, you know, you don't have to, you know, read that much of the newspaper or watch too much TV to see that there's a lot of extreme things and crazy stuff that goes on all the time. In schools, in, you know, businesses, post office, at colleges, you know, there's things that happen around others. Haven't happened to me so far, praise God. And I know most of us have not been touched with some of those crazy things that happen in theaters. But I'm here to tell you, we're in perilous times. We're in difficult times. And I think they're only going to get worse. Yeah, I said it. It's only going to get worse. I don't think that we're now just going to, you know, some people say, well, the economy's starting to swing back, Pastor Mike. Things are starting to, well, the economy may be swinging a little bit. But I'll tell you what's not is the climate, spiritual climate of our country is not swinging back. It's going further and further away. Someone told me this week that a very prominent, well-known pastor, I won't say his name, and he's had some strange things that he said before, but nothing like this. Basically, he, at a meeting in San Francisco, completely endorsed homosexual marriages and basically said it's fine. And so that's that pendulum saying is still swinging this way. How many know that it's only going to swing back, I believe now, when Jesus establishes his kingdom? I really believe that. Now, some may say, well, I'm a doom and gloomer. No, I'm full of hope and I'm full of faith. I'm full of confidence in what God's doing. I've never been more excited to be a Christian than I have been today than I have been at any time in my life. Never been more excited. I don't care how dark the world seems to be getting. Over here in our spiritual walk, oh my goodness, God is doing amazing things. To where Psalm 91 breathes new life in me. It gives me an inspiration that I didn't even have before. I was reading it this morning and said, oh, I never saw it like that, you know. And it's just because of what he's doing inside of me and the grace and the love that I've been experiencing, and I believe you have been experiencing as well. So it's going to be more and more difficult to live in the natural world. It's going to be harder and harder for those, especially that don't know God, because they don't have any hope. The only hope that the world has, if it's somebody that doesn't know God, is that the world will change, will swing back. And sometimes that very hope is what drives them further into darkness, because they put more and more of their hope in the world. Does that make sense? So let's read a little bit of Psalm 91. It's 16 verses, and let's just see what the Lord has to say. So I'm going to read out of the New King James. And again, we're at Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm going to read that again. That's really powerful. He or she, whoever dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There is a secret place in God that isn't supposed to be so secret that we never get there. You ever think about that? Well, it's secret, God. How can I get there? It's secret. What's the password? It's secret. What's the code? It's secret, God. Give me directions in the map to get to this secret place. Anybody else there? Because I'm reading something conditional here. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. How do I get to this secret place? Because I want everything else, Lord, that follows. But it sounds like it starts in this secret place. Folks, the secret place, and get this, it's going to mess you up, some of you, because you're going to say, no, it's not that easy. The secret place lives in you. It's not some place you go, not some meeting you experience, not even just some chapter you read in the Bible or some verse you memorize. The secret place is in you. Because see, we have God dwelling in us now. This was written before Jesus and all the work of the Holy Spirit. So, yes, there's a secret place, but let's not read this from Old Testament perspective. Let's not read this from something that we're trying to attain. Let's read it from a completed, finished work, because that's what it is. There's a secret place in you, God, that if you dwell in Him and He dwell in you, which He does, you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, how does this happen? You start acknowledging God. You start being obedient to God. You start doing the simple things. I'm not talking about just praying so many hours a day and reading your word so many hours a day and, you know, being at church so many 2.3 times. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you spending some time alone, maybe with your family, and let God speak to your heart. Let Him be the one who indwells you. See, this picture I get is like, you know, figure a mama hen and her baby chicks, you know, gathering around her, and it's like they're huddling onto her, you know, from protection from the storm. And God is that. He's our high refuge. He's our strong tower. But above and beyond that, He dwells in us. So inside of us is a secret place where we can dwell with God. Some say, well, a secret place is you go someplace, you hide in secret, you close the door. That's biblical for prayer. But I'm talking about there's a secret place right now. All of us, we just quieted our hearts. We could all go there. Why? Because He lives in us. See, we don't have to go to church to get God. We don't have to go to church to experience God. And you don't have to just turn on the right music to experience God. That helps. Especially if you've got, you know, things going on in your head, stuff, all the busyness of life. But all you have to do is be still and know. And not just that He is God, but that He is in you. See, I don't think we resonate that enough. I don't think we don't contemplate that enough. I don't think we let that incubate in us enough that He lives in us. He lives in us. He chose to dwell in us. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, well, guess what? We dwell there. We live there. I never knew this before. I always thought I had to dwell somehow. I had to stay in God. I had to try to figure out, make sure that He's my tower, and it was up to me to dwell. But He's chose to dwell in us. Is anybody getting this? The power of this? That if you just realize that He's dwelling there and you acknowledge Him, oh my goodness, 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, and it won't come near your dwelling. And what's your dwelling? Your dwelling is Him.
See, I used to think, okay, well, I'm a home out here. 10,000 homes on this side can be destroyed. 1,000 on this side can be destroyed. And my home's okay. I just made it all natural. That's truth. I'm sure, you know, you could probably go and you probably find some testimonies of people who are in hurricanes or in fires. I've heard fires before. And hurricane comes in. All the homes devastated. But one believer's home, there it is, untouched. Maybe sometimes a log laying against it just to say, no, it was in that storm. God supernaturally spares it. But listen, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, he dwells in us. We dwell in the secret place, folks. We don't have to fret over that. All we have to do is rest in that. Is receive that truth. I did not know I was going to go here. I truly mean it. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. See, that is the response of that dwelling place. And since he dwells in us, guess what? He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is the God in whom I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler, which is like a bird trap, sorry. And from the perilous pestilence. That is that word, perilous. From the perilous, he's going to deliver us. See, what we have to realize is that the most wicked, perilous pestilence there is sin. It's not some disease out there. It's not cancer. It's not even you know, circumstances in our lives. That's not necessarily the worst perilous pestilence. The worst perilous pestilence that he delivered us from is sin. And he delivered us from it. He did. Jesus Christ took sin upon himself. This is Palm Sunday, which is the Sunday that Jesus makes the day, celebration of the day, he makes his triumphant entry into Jerusalem to prepare to go and die. And as we sang Hosanna, crowds are cheering him on. Yes, Jesus, you've come to be our king, which he did. They didn't think a king was going to hang on a cross for them, though. They thought he was going to sit on a throne and dethrone the Roman government. They had no clue that they'd be those same people that were yelling, potentially, Hosanna, may have been one saying, crucify him the next week. We don't know. But he did that to deliver us from sin. The worst pestilence there is. The worst pestilence, folks. Because sin separates us from the love of God. It does. Sin keeps us from receiving God's love. God loves us. Even when I was in my worst state as a sinner, he was loving me. But my sin kept that love from penetrating my heart. And when I gave up my sin, that sounds weird, by saying, Jesus, you took my sin, guess what? That perilous pestilence of sin was taken away. Thank you, Lord. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the flower. May have been a good hippie or something. I don't know. It's like flower child. Anyway. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Everybody, yes, Pastor Mike. And from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Oh my goodness. He is our protector. He is our covering. He is our shelter. Yes, we can hide under him like little chicks. But more than that now, we somehow dwell in him. It's not just a bird covering. It's like somehow, some way, we become part of that bird. It's not just a shadow of his wings, we become part of that shadow. I realize what the Lord wanted to do. He wanted to put Psalm 91 on steroids today. I did not know this. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying, listen, my children, and you start taking this with verses, because I believe this is what God wants to do. He wants to breathe new life into what we used to just quote. I told you I quoted it for a year. I knew this scripture. I knew it. I mean, I believe to the place that if someone came into my house, that if they said they were going to threaten my life, that I was covered. I'm protected. I didn't need an AK-47. I didn't need a Glock. I didn't need, you know, I got that one right. I didn't need a, you know what I mean, 9mm. I didn't need that. And I've had people ask me before, Pastor, what are you going to do if someone breaks in? Well, I'm probably going to go running through my house, because usually they're going to be at night, right? I won't say it, the description, because they probably don't, that sear in there. My whitey tighties. My whitey tighties. Praying in tongues. Huh? I don't. But still, it's, you know, it's funny. Yeah, what? La, la, la. Yeah, yeah. Erase, erase, remove, remove. But anyway, I'd be praying in tongues. I know I would. Because I've ran in those situations when I used to do street ministry. Situations that all of a sudden it looked like things were getting dicey. I would just start praying loud in tongues. And things would turn around. I don't know why or how. I mean, why God? How? Maybe the tongues. I don't know if angels came around. But that's what that psalm and others that I read. But listen, it's more than that. It's more than just protection from the elements and protection from the thieves and protection from whatever would try to harm us. Because the greatest harm that can come to us is God's love being taken out of our hearts. You guys got to get this. This is Psalm 91's on steroids. This is for you to know that you are so much in God and he is so much in you that you literally can stand like him over others' lives. Do you see what God has done? He didn't make it so that we just run to him and cling like some kind of terrified animal. He made it so that somehow, some way, his glory came in us and we now stand as a stronghold for others. And that the perilous pestilence of sin can now be, with a spoken word, delivered from their life. Are you getting this? Yes, I'm not saying we're God, but I'm saying through his grace, he empowers us like that. We sang it. I give you all of me. Well, he gave us all of him. You say, well, Pastor, how could he give us all of him? If he gave us all of him, then heaven would be empty. No. He's not like you and I. He doesn't have to be all diced up into little tiny pieces and he's fragmented. No, he's able to be deposited in his fullness in each one of us. He's not some cracker we break up and spread around. He's like a ocean that we all swim in. And we're all in the same ocean. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor this destruction that lays waste at noonday. Hey, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high. The psalm takes an interesting turn. It goes from being like one of a declaration to almost like one of God then prophesying and speaking back to us. And he's saying, because he has set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him. I want you to know that it's not just about us loving God first. It has to be about him loving us. And he loves us so much. He loves us so much that today there were several individuals, and I don't know the depth that they were touched. Only time will tell. Several individuals that God touched so deeply and strongly that I believe they're not going to be the same. They will be changed. Some that maybe even didn't come up today. You'll find that things are going on in your life and your life is different. You're going like, what happened? It's God's grace and his love. Because it's not about how much we dwell in him. It's about how much he dwells in us. I guarantee if you start walking around saying, you dwell in me, you live in me. I don't know why you live in me, but you live in me. You dwell in me. Lord, you've taken habitation in me. For some reason, you thought I would be a good residence. You've actually set up house in me. You've got an easy chair and you kick back and you relax and you just spend time with me. And Lord, because of that, you're changing me. You're transforming me. You're making me, Lord, so that I don't have to be afraid of anything. I don't have to worry about anything because nothing's going to come and take me unless you allow it. So I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to fret about it. I'm not going to, lose sleep over my future. My future's in your hands. Yeah, Lord, 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 my right hand. It's not going to come near me. Pestilence may be all around, new diseases, new things that people are worried about. Zombies may be out there. Who knows? At least that's what they go by sometimes. Weird people. I didn't say peculiar, I said weird people. But my point being is that, Lord, there's a hope in you. There's a confidence in you that man, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be alarmed. I don't have to worry about the bills being paid. I don't have to worry about, a job. I don't have to worry about, I just don't have to worry about those things. You guys getting it? Because he's in you and you're in him. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you first loved us. Because of that, we can now love you back. But Lord, some of our love, Lord, is tainted. And it's been corrupted with the world. Some of our love, Lord, has been messed up. And it's not as pure as, Lord, as you have made it, Lord, when you first saved us. And Lord, we know that God, as we love you, Lord, back. Because we've received your unconditional, perfect, complete love, Lord. That things, Lord, will work out together for our good. Because we're called according to your purpose. Lord, that you have, Lord, a divine plan for our lives. And no matter what it looks like right now, at this exact moment, that's not who we are. That's not what we're about. Lord, I thank you, God, that eternity is happening right now. You've planted eternity in our hearts, Lord, and today you've awakened it a little bit more. Lord, that we're not bound to this timeline, but Lord, that we stretch beyond this timeline, Lord, and we have a future with you, God, that is, Lord, it can't be compared with anything. Our minds, our hearts can't even really even imagine, Lord, the love that you have waiting for us, the stepping out of this natural existence into a supernatural existence. So Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Calvary. We thank you, Lord, for dying for us. We thank you, Lord, for becoming sin who knew no sin, for becoming what literally was disgusting to all of heaven,
because you became everything that was bad in us so we could become everything that you are. And we receive that today. Thank you, Jesus, for being our salvation. Thank you, Lord, for working such a deep work, Lord, that people around us now aren't even recognizing who we are anymore because you're so deep inside of us. You're doing such a divine work. Lord, I just pray that you'd continue to bring your word alive. You continue, Lord, to show us verses that we used to know and say, but what about this? What about Jesus now in this verse? What about God working in you now? Lord, like you never worked before, work in us. Spirit of truth, reveal all truth. We deny the lies, we reject the lies, and we receive only truth now in Jesus' name. Lord, we know that truth will make us free as we know it fully and experience it fully. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. All right. I feel like I need to say something. Dismissed? What? Say hi to somebody. Love somebody. Love. Hi, somebody.